You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And welcome in 2 days before the National Football League draft, where the Minnesota Vikings, we think, anyways, are going to make a franchise-altering pick at quarterback. One way or the other. And so we figured today is a good day to bring in our guy, Tyler Fornes. You can hear him every week on Purple Daily on Draft. You can follow him on his YouTube channel. Tell the audience, it's a First and Skull YouTube channel, correct, Tyler?
Vikings First and Skull. You search it, we'll find it. Dave's got all the nice graphics and stuff. We look and sound like a professional operation, even though we're half bozo. It's pretty great.
So go click the subscribe button over there. Gentlemen, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes. We want to let Tyler cook here and tell us, well, the first round, we'll do whatever we do in the first round, but fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, how do you build out your roster and give Forno a chance to cook on a lot of the work he's been doing the last few months? But Judd, before we do that, a shout out to our friends at Northern Fire. Is that the hat you have on right now?
That's exactly the
NASCAR
hat.
Judd.
Yep. A little Quick Trip, a little Northern Fire, and you speak of Forno cooking. How about Northern Fire Grilling Barbecue Supply? I mean, we're talking about cooking here. We're talking about everything that you could want. Let's refer to it as this. It's a barbecue playground, and it's the best one in town. 70 different gas grills, over 150 dry rubs on the flavor wall that you just saw. Wow. More of a sauce person? That's okay. Yep. There's a sauce wall as well, you guys. Northern Fire is the only Twin Eagle dealer in the Twin Cities carrying luxury outdoor grill equipment. There also are unique cuts of meats and seafood. If you get the idea here, they've got a little bit of everything. Go to their website, northernfirebbq.com, or check them out at their location just north of Highway 62 on Shady Oak Road. If it involves barbecue, Northern Fire Grilling and Barbecue Supply will have it. Again, that's northernfirebbq.com.
Heck yeah. And then a few things to note. It's draft week here, so in addition to your normal but amped up daily episodes of Purple Daily, we're going to hit you with the obvious live draft party live on the Purple Daily YouTube channel at the sold out Fillmore on Thursday. That starts at 7 p.m. Central Time. And just before that, at Fulton, Tommy Kramer is going to be hosting a little party down the street, a little pregame party at Fulton Brewing, welcoming Vikings fans and Purple Daily fans from 3 to 7 o'clock. You can get your hands on a 300 IPA, those Lonely Blondes, maybe even a seltzer, and the amazing food. They have a full menu at Fulton. Tommy Kramer will be there from 3 to 5 o'clock at Fulton. And also Crybaby Craig's has jumped on board as a draft party sponsor, and all the VIPs are going to get a free bottle of Crybaby Craig's. And then one more note too. So draft party, 7 o'clock, YouTube channel, Purple Daily YouTube channel on Thursday. We're looking to carve out some extra time to hang out with you guys, whether you were at the party or whether you couldn't make it. So Friday, we have a Purple Daily day two happy hour at 3 Jack in Minneapolis. That's Friday from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It's a free cover, but we do ask that you register at scorenorth.com/happyhour, scorenorth.com/happyhour. And speaking of Crybaby Craig's, everyone who shows up to the happy hour gets a free bottle of Crybaby Craig's. So that menu at 3 Jacks too is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to connect with anyone at the draft party. If you're going to be at Fulton beforehand, that's awesome. And then the day two happy hour at 3 Jack in Minneapolis on Friday, April 26th from 3 to 5 o'clock. Okay. Gentlemen, let's do a mock draft simulation here, courtesy of Pro Football Focus. We'll pull this up for the YouTube audience, and then we'll explain it for the audio audience. Seven rounds. We're gonna do the, when you do the PFF boards on the settings, it basically bumps JJ McCarthy way down. So we're gonna do the public perception of how the draft should play out. And let's start the conversation. So what do you guys, before the draft even starts, Forno, Judd, you guys can head up our front office here. Should we be on the phone right now? Should we looking to facilitate trades with anyone? Should we see what the first two or three picks look like? What do you guys want to do? How do you want to attack?
Forno?
I want to see what the first two picks are, and then I want to kind of see where New England is at. And if Drake May is on the board, I'm giving whatever I can to go get him. And I think the quotes from Kevin O'Connell at that church lecture series really spoke volumes to why I think he is the Vikings' preference. You can fix footwork. You can't fix the crazy stuff he can do down the field, the crazy stuff he can do on the move, and his ability to play Superman consistently. It didn't always work, but he was always up for the challenge, and that's the guy I want in my room.
I'm going to give Forno my same hot take that I gave you guys on the scoop with Doogie here, because I think he'll appreciate this. So you know how the Commanders kind of got torched for, like, why would they bring in all 30 guys? Why would they bring in four quarterbacks and send them to Topgolf? Like, classic incompetent Commanders. Well, it's the alpha test. You put a bunch of guys in a room. Let's see how they interact with each other. See if anyone gets weird or insecure. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the next day, Jaden Daniels' agent gets all weird on Twitter, and he starts liking tweets that are criticizing the Commanders for their process, and he puts a little, like, confused face emoji out. And so it felt like the Jaden Daniels camp was like, whoa, why would we ever have to share the same air as any of these other quarterbacks? Why would this not be a foregone conclusion? Drake May was asked about it on Robert May's podcast. I think yesterday it came out, and he flat out said Kevin Clark,
give me my former,
this is football. Yep. And he just flat out asks Drake May, hey, what did you make of the whole Topgolf outing with all the different quarterbacks? And he goes, dude, I loved it. I thought it was super fun. It was great getting to meet some of the other quarterbacks and the other players. And it was so much different in a good way than just going to a steakhouse with a bunch of suits, GMs and coaches and stuff. I had a blast, you know, just like the difference in the way that both camps and quarterbacks handled that potentially awkward situation was enough for me, hot take 48 hours before the draft, to say, I'd rather have Drake May than Jaden Daniels.
All right. Hey, welcome to the train. I've been here for about a year and a half.
Yes.
The big thing for me with the Commanders, I thought it was brilliant. You already have so much information on these guys, and you've had private workouts. You had opportunities to talk to them at pro days, the NFL scouting combine. It's not like you're going in blind and you need to get all this information from them.
Yeah.
Put them in a group. See how they interact with people. And it's not just how they interact with the other quarterbacks, all the other players. How do they treat the janitorial staff, the kitchen staff? How do you treat the secretaries and assistants in the building? How are you in situations where it's uncomfortable? Like, you're not just trying to get drafted. You're trying to get drafted over these guys, and it could cost you $10 million if you do something wrong. So how you handle that kind of pressure, how you handle those different situations is going to be really key for the quarterback position as a general encompassing whole. So yeah. I thought it was a great idea.
Great. Yeah. Agreed. Judd, you're in. You agree with our experiment takes here?
I don't know that it necessarily means that Daniels is not the right pick, but I do know this. To me, it felt like he should just be the second pick. Like, he's heard that he was going to be the second pick, and he should just be it. And that's a problem. Like you shouldn't just assume that, dude. There is no, like, this is, I've been the guy who has pounded the table for a long time and said, I don't think they do enough work on these quarterbacks as far as their mindsets.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Vikings sat down with Ponder, and he was super book smart. And they're like, well, he's so book smart, this translates. Book smart does not translate necessarily to athletic smarts. So I love putting people in as many different, especially future QBs, in as many different situations as possible. And I thought this was very, very smart. And to me, this was not an old school Commanders move. This was actually a nuanced smart move.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to click start draft. We're going to see who the Bears and the Commanders take. And then we'll make our decision on what to do once the Patriots are on the clock here. Okay. So the Bears take Caleb Williams. The Commanders take Jaden Daniels.
All right.
Look, I know this may not be the most popular thing amongst Vikings fans, and I know Declan, we had talked about giving up the next year's first round pick and whether that's a good idea or not. Quite frankly, I don't care. I think Drake May's the guy. I thought he's been the guy for months, and he is a perfect fit. There are analysts for other teams saying, please, for the love of God, don't let the Vikings get Drake May. If that doesn't help sell you, I don't know what will at this point. Yeah, he has footwork issues. I can fix footwork. I can't fix the ability to make a Josh Allen or Justin Herbert type throw 55 yards down the field. You can't teach somebody that.
What's your plan as far as when he plays then? Because that's the thing is, I think it might behoove him to sit for an extended period of time while all of the footwork things are worked on. And I will say this, I think that you can do real damage by just taking a few months thinking things are fixed, because often people revert back to what they did. Mm-hmm. But all of that being said, I'm with you. I don't care. But what do you think is the timetable, the wise one, to get him to a point where when he does play in games, you don't have regression back to what he used to do?
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts, or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom. And it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
I don't have a timetable. And that's not to say I haven't thought about it. That's not to say there isn't a timetable. You have to let his play decide what that timetable is. You have to keep it a very fluid situation. CJ Stroud proved he was ready day one. Russell Wilson proved he was ready day one. And they both had incredibly successful seasons. And when you look at, like, I mirror this current Houston Texans team off of that Seattle Seahawks team that won the Super Bowl in 2013. Mm-hmm. It just feels so eerily similar. And if they're ready, they're ready. If they're not, you have them sit. And with the way the Vikings infrastructure is set up, they're going to give the Vikings a little bit of grace, a little bit of time, where a normal top five pick would not get that because of everything that you have and how they've been preparing for this moment. You're going to have that kind of grace. If Sam Darnold stinks for 6 weeks, there's going to be talk. You're going to have the Jim Suhans, the Ben Gesslings writing about how Drake May needs to be the starter. But they can weather the storm and they can just wait. Look, we want Drake May to really get in depth with a lot of this stuff and figure it out before we throw him out to the wolves. Because then once he's ready, we don't just want to think we can win games. We want to know we're going to win games. And that is the most important thing for the next 10 to 15 years, not the next 10 to 15 weeks.
Amen.
On the actual, by the way, amen. I'm going to give good stuff Tyler a round of applause back. Totally agree with it. Here's my question on the value. So it's funny because the PFF simulator isn't always aligned with what the real trade price would be. But I do like that they're not giving you a 100% on just the 11 and the 23. So we'll throw in next year's first. Is it possible that the Vikings could get a kickback here? So, okay, Patriots, you take the three first round picks. We get the three. Give us a fourth or something. Like, give us the 103.
Give us 68.
68?
Okay. Yeah.
And it says it'll be accepted. So let's offer the trade. Bada bing, bada boom. The Minnesota Vikings select Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina.
I will say, it is really hard to still pass on Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's so special. But I'm not saying it because I want to be chaotic and I want to completely ignore the quarterback position. He's so good.
But it would be fun to see, wouldn't it be cool if you could just create a parallel universe, Forno, and say, okay, Sam Darnold, you get access now to Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Marvin Harrison Jr. for a year or two and just like see what that looks like. And then you could go back in time and redo it and get Drake May if it doesn't look good.
Oh, listen, when I die in hopefully 60, 70 years, I'm going to ask that question and I want to see what it looks like. I'm also going to ask the question, a lot of questions about Dante Culpepper and Percy Harvin and try and figure out what would happen if they didn't get hurt. But
God, just grinding film,
man.
Oh, listen, I'm going to be sitting with Jesus, Bartholomew, and all the disciples, and we're going to be watching the Wishbone, baby.
St. Peter's going to be like, rewind that.
St. Peter loves the Wishbone. So, okay, I did pause it here just so we can regroup. So I'm going to go back and just out of curiosity see where the other quarterbacks went. J.J. McCarthy did go 6 to the Giants. And let's see here. We might have to go second round for Tyler's favorite guy, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix.
Second round's too early.
Michael Penix, 34, to the Patriots. And then Bo Nix to the Raiders at 44.
All right.
So
I will say I want everybody to be prepared for one of these quarterbacks to fall. And remember the Justin Fields situation from 3 years ago going into the draft? Oh, there's no way this guy's getting out of the top 5, let alone the top 10. Falls to 11. Will Levis was, I think, minus 400 or 600 to go fourth overall the day of the draft, and he fell to 33. Right. So there's a real chance that the Vikings end up not even having to move up very far at all for a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, and do you wind up having to call a bluff somewhere, right? Like, do you call the Giants bluff at some point? Okay, we've got now, this is a 7-round mock, so we are back on the clock at 68, the pick that we acquired as a kickback with the Patriots. There is one trade offer, or at least one team. The Jaguars looking to move up from 96 up to 68.
No, I'm good.
No, screw that. Screw that.
I'm good. There are two players on the board, one of them which we talked about on Monday, Purple Daily on Draft, Brandon Dorlus.
Yeah.
I made the declarative statement that I think the Vikings are going to take Brandon Dorlus. And one of the reasons being, of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah's 16 draft picks, 7 of them have been involved in top 30 visits in some way, shape, or form. 4 of them actually made a top 30 visit. Jordan Addison, Mekhi Blackman, and Dwayne McBride last year, and Asezi Odemewo in 2022. Vidarian Lowe had safety Kirby Joseph in for a visit. Both went to Illinois in 2022. And then Jay Ward and Jaqualin Roy had 2 players from LSU in for top 30 visits last year. So you have 7 of those 16 picks linked to top 30 visits, plus I believe 6 or 7 UDFAs. So I think that the Vikings are going to continue this trend, especially last year, because you had a real cycle to kind of see how they're going to put together these processes, how they're going to utilize all of this information that they gather, because it's not just a condensed space from January to April. It is a full calendar year. So Dorlus, I cannot remember his name, but the Vikings assistant offensive line coach did go to Oregon this past year and was their offensive line coach. They did bring in a defensive lineman for a top 30 visit. And Dorlus he screams Brian Flores guy, because he can play inside and out. He did shrink down for the Senior Bowl, which I thought was a massive mistake. He wins with mismatches. He wins because he is a tweener. And he does not have elite get-off, elite burst, but he's got really good hands. He's got great power. And having a guy who can be like 285, 290 pounds, especially with how the pass rush has been from the defensive line, I think Dorlus can be a really good guy. Christian Haynes from Connecticut is a fascinating one, too.
The guard.
I want to go with Dorlus, but Haynes, that dude, if he gets his hands on you, you're done. And he has this rare ability for an offensive lineman. As a guard, a lot of times you help tackles, but you help on the inside. He can actually kick back and take an edge rusher that gets around the tackle and go help. Like, that kind of movement skills are really impressive, especially with a guy who's as big of a mauler as he is. But for me, I really like Dorlus, and you got to help the defensive line. Amen. That would be my choice.
Yeah, I think you're right. In terms of blending a really good player, as you describe, with a huge need, the Vikings were dead last by a mile in interior pass rush win rate last year. So Brandon Dorlus, come on down.
Starter day one?
He could definitely compete to be a starter day one. I don't necessarily know that he has to be. He's a really, really talented player. I gave Dorlus a high third round grade, so the range in which he was taken is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
He's 73rd on my board, so only a 5-pick difference. 5 picks is nothing at this point in the draft. So I love the idea.
So now we're on the clock with the 108. So we have the 108, the 129 coming up here before 157, 167, 177. So we've addressed quarterback, we've addressed interior defensive line. What are some other things? I mean, cornerback is a need. Interior offensive line is a need. Wide receiver three is a need. So, Forno, what do you see here?
So we did take Dorless, but I want to at least highlight him really quick. Brennan Jackson, the edge rusher from Washington State, a really weird kind of player. He plays powerful, but he is 6'4", 265. I think if you put 30 pounds on him, he could be a really good five technique. But we kind of just got that guy in Dorless. And I think that might be a little bit redundant. I'd want to take a much bigger player. Jacob Cowing is a guy I'm very high on. He's my wide receiver 13 in this class. I don't care that he's that small. He knows how to win. He knows how to win from the slot, and he can win from the outside at UTEP 2020 and 2021. He was a massive vertical threat, winning consistently down the field. And seeing that and then seeing him do it at Arizona in 2022, where they went from an absolute tire fire to winning five games, which their win total was 2.5. They doubled it. And then they won 10 games last year, but they asked him to move to the slot because of Tetairoa McMillan. Remember that name. He's going to be wide receiver one next year. That dude is like, he's like DeAndre Hopkins 2.0, just the way he plays, his size, his smoothness, and the ability to just win at the catch point. But I really like Cowing a lot.
Let's do it. Should we do it?
Yeah. You know what? Let's do it. I really like Cowing. If Jamari Thrash was on the board, I'd probably go with Thrash just because I think Thrash's size profile and the ability to win after the catch or yards after the catch is a little bit better, but it's hard to say no.
So Judd, we'll throw it to you here for a second. So we've addressed quarterback, interior defensive line. I love the way Forno just described the Arizona wide receiver experience on the outside. He's 5'11", 175, so probably profiles more of a slot guy with Addison and Jefferson playing on the outside. But what other needs are we sniffing around here?
I'm thinking two things right now. I'm thinking a cornerback, if Tyler likes one of those who's available, or interior offensive line, because I, you know, like right now you're not certain for sure that Blake Brandel is going to be your starting left guard. Ingram is your starting right guard, but I'm not super comfortable there for the long term of the future. So I guess right now, Tyler, unless you really like a cornerback who's on the board, and it appears there's quite a few of them, interior offensive line is where I am thinking if we can get a guard who's going to potentially compete for a starting job.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really see one that I like, but I do see a cornerback that I'm absolutely in love with, and that is Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Dude is a dog. He is hyper-aggressive, great ball skills. I'll be honest. I knew almost nothing about him going into the Senior Bowl. And then I kept watching the film. I'm like, whoa, who is this dude? And then I turned it on. I'm like, yeah, this is my kind of guy. This is a Brian Flores man corner. This is a guy who's going to punch you in the mouth and ask for seconds. I love his game. Yeah, that aggressiveness needs to be honed a little bit, because he does leave himself prone to double moves. He leaves himself prone to being attacked with leverage because of his aggressiveness. So if he can start to play smarter and within himself, I think Brownlee can be a starting cornerback in the National Football League for a long time, on the outside or in the slot.
I'm sold.
I mean, say no more.
On Saturday when we do our live draft stuff on Friday and Saturday for Vikings versus Skol, if he's on the board, I'm going to be screaming and pounding the table for him.
Yes.
Don't break anything for it. Again, nice setup there. I'm worried about your office.
No, you don't have to worry about the office. I will metaphorically pound the table.
Okay, all right.
Tyler's going to pound the glass table, break it, look into the camera, and say, "Cry me a river." That's what he's going to do.
Hey, listen.
For the 10 people who get that.
So.
I didn't, but I know what it's from, I think.
What do you think it's from?
I think it's from wrestling.
Yes, it is. It's from that. Very much from
wrestling. Didn't take a big leap of faith.
We need to get Judge to watch Hangman Page versus Swerve Strickland Texas Deathmatch.
Look at Declan's like, yeah.
Yes.
Judge, you ever lick another man's blood before and take pleasure in it?
You ever let it drip down into your mouth, Judd?
Okay. You know, guys, can we get back to the draft? I'm becoming so uncomfortable.
Yes,
right now.
Right, yes. Football. Yes. You know, when Judd's uncomfortable, he likes to get out to the outdoors. A place like Fletcher Lake, perhaps, is where Judd can go to decompress.
You know why? Because look at it right here. If you are watching this, what you're seeing is a full service Fishing Lodge located in beautiful Ontario, Canada. Only accessible, as you can tell here, by flying in on a traditional Canadian bush plane. The remote setting, it ensures exceptional trophy fishing for guests. We're talking about trophy walleye. We're talking about northern. We're talking about muskies and smallmouth bass. Cabins accommodate groups of 2 to 12. A dock staff prepares your fully outfitted boat each morning.
There's Judd.
Yep, right there. That's me. The old guy with gray hair. Because Jeannie and her staff, they treat guests like family. Look at how gorgeous Fletcher Lake Lodge is. All you have to do, check them out, FletcherLake.com, to learn more or book your reservation today. FletcherLake.com. When the draft is done, you're going to have some downtime. What are you going to do to decompress? How about a little fishing at FletcherLake.com?
Love it, man. You know, Dex, if I am not mistaken, I can't say this for sure, but it looks to me with my trained eye like Fletcher Lake might use some Aquaside around their edges.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to step into a lake, or if you're at a cabin and you put your dock in, you don't want to have to realize there's something gross at the bottom of that lake, and you're trying to figure out what it is. Well, our friends at Aquaside can help diagnose it, and they can, of course, help you get rid of it with their Aquaside pellets, which are safe products registered with the EPA and DNR. So as cabin season approaches here in the Midwest, and you're getting that dock in, you want to get rid of that nasty algae at the bottom, call our friends at Aquaside. Shipping is free on their products, too. Go to aquaside.com to learn more.
Also, since we're talking about the nice weather here, and we're finally getting into the outdoor season, riding season for some of you Ragnars out there on your motorcycles, your ATVs with your golden braids. Maybe you're riding a dirt bike. Well, you should go to DennisKirk.com and check out over 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories for whatever it is that you ride. There's financing options available as low as 0% for up to 12 months, same-day shipping on orders placed by 8 p.m. Central Time, and free shipping on orders over $89. Check them out at DennisKirk.com. Okay, back to the mock here. So we're back on the clock, and potential strategy here, Forno. We've got the 157, mm-hmm. the 167, the 177. So there's going to be some players here as we look at the big board, who's available, that maybe we have to select now. Maybe there's one that we could wait 10 picks mm-hmm. or swing a trade. So what are you seeing here?
Will Shipley intrigues me. He is
running back,
like
Clemson.
If you went to Dollar General and tried to buy Christian McCaffrey, the same archetype, the same style of player, he's just nowhere near as good. Christian Jones is an intriguing tackle option. I think he's got the ability to play both left and right side. He played, I'm 99% sure, the left side for Texas. Has some really good athleticism. Flashed at the Senior Bowl, but is really inconsistent and needs some technique work. Jaden Sheridan, the Monmouth running back. Just an absolute beast. I can't remember the number. I think he had 26 rushes of 20 or more yards over the past two seasons, which is just monstrous stuff. Yeah, Monmouth plays in the FCS, and you have to take some of that into consideration. But there are gems that you can find, especially at the running back position, because running backs historically are usually the best high school athletes, because running back is so much easier with the lack of talent at the quarterback position on average per high school to be able to really run a dynamic offense. So that's an intriguing option.
So you're thinking, it sounds like you're thinking running back here in this range.
I kind of like the idea of
running back. Christian, or get an offensive lineman. Yeah. What do you want to
pull up the running backs?
No, let's do it. Let's see here.
Let's kind of see who's there.
Well, hold on. My fat fingers are clicking all over the place. There we go.
Cody Schrader is, he's like your classic quote unquote gym rat. He doesn't really have a lot of athletic ability, but he's a grinder, and he's going to really put in a lot of effort. Like, he's a big 5'9", but he's also 5'9". Kamani Vidal, I really like. Isaac Garendo, especially if the Vikings continue to run a lot more gap stuff, really intrigues me. But I think you could probably get him in about 10 to 20 picks.
6'1", yeah. 225.
Oof. He only has 273 touches at the college level. He was behind Jonathan Taylor and then Braylon Allen. And then he goes to Louisville and sits behind Jawar Jordan, who's also a draft prospect in this draft. Like, there are some interesting options at running back, and a lot of it has to do with, are you going to continue to try and run more gap stuff, or are you going to really be a zone team? because I think that's going to be your determining factor if you want to take a guy like Arendo. Tight end is interesting, but I want a hyper athlete if I'm taking a tight end to this spot, because you're not taking a tight end for now. You're taking a tight end for 4 years down the line.
Right.
So, well, let's grab one of your, Aaron Jones is a nice addition. It's probably a 1 year thing. He's 30 years old. So, and you're kind of left with Ty Chandler and whoever you draft here. So they do still need long-term running back here. Let's grab your
Dollar Store McCaffrey.
You want to grab Dollar Store McCaffrey or no? Or do you want to wait?
If we're going to do that, I want to go scroll down a little bit. And I want to take another guy on the All-Forno team, and that is New Hampshire's Dylan Labbe. If you're going to take a Dollar Store McCaffrey, get the guy who's just on discount at Lunds and Byerly's instead of at Dollar General.
Well, we could probably wait on
like
him,
day
too.
Old, though?
Labbe is interesting because they just asked him during one spring practice to go learn how to be a slot receiver. And then he can dominate you with slot fades against Central Michigan this year. 12 catches, over 260 yards, multiple touchdowns.
Smart player. This
dude just isn't a running back that can catch the ball. He's a receiver. All right. We can probably wait on him.
Let's earmark him. So let's get him with like the 167 or the 177. Yeah. So we'll earmark it.
Yeah.
I'll pull up the big board again.
Let's take Christian Jones. We need to find offensive tackle depth, and we need to find guys who are not going to cost a lot, who you can develop, and they can be backups. You don't always have to draft a guy thinking he can be a starter. Sometimes you have to draft a guy thinking that he's just going to be a good depth player for you, and I think that's what Jones is going to be.
So we're back on the clock at 167. We can probably wait another 10 picks for Dollar Store McCaffrey if there's another
Dale.
Well, what about like
Byerly's?
Bo Limmer has popped up a few times in this range for us as an interior option.
I like the idea of Limmer, especially because he's got 100th percentile vertical jump, 36.5, and then he benched 39 reps, 225 pounds. He has got some technique flaws, but I can teach technique. I can't teach you being a grown man. And
can he play guard?
Let's go.
I think he can. If I remember correctly, he only played center this past year for Arkansas, and he was a guard before that. Yeah, nice. And versatility is going to be really, really key when it comes to these offensive linemen later on, because you can't draft them to just play one spot.
Yeah, he was he's been a right guard in previous years, but he was almost exclusively a center this last year. So so he could kick over when Ed Ingram doesn't sign another contract. Should we do it? Should we go Bo Limmer here?
Take him.
Okay.
And Bo Limmer. I want Dylan Labbe at 177.
Love it, dude.
It's all coming.
We're cooking right now. I feel like Forno's cooking right now. Let me pull up the running backs. Okay.
There we go.
Okay, Dylan Labbe, welcome to the Minnesota Vikings.
Here's the thing with Labbe. He's going to give you that third down utility, which this team needs. Ty Chandler, phenomenal pass blocker in college, been incredibly inconsistent at the pro level, and you can't have that kind of inconsistency, because it's not like, oh, I ran a route 2 yards too deep, and then it ended up being incomplete because it was too short. No. Yeah. If you miss a block, it can be catastrophic, and you can't allow those kind of plays to happen. So I like Labbe. I think he can be a good pass blocker, and he's also a phenomenal receiver for the position.
So we have two picks left here, the 230 and the 232. There have been some mock draft simulations where we have entertained Iowa punter in this range.
No.
If he's still available, are you in on any specialists?
That's Thor. That's Thor.
Thor loves going punter.
I love Thor. One of my really good friends in real life, not just it because of media.
However,
no, I'm not taking an Iowa punter, Thor. I'm not doing it. I refuse.
He's taken the Iowa punter in every mock we've done with him.
Yeah.
Is it everyone? That's not a surprise. I also don't think Ryan Wright's that bad. He had a down season, but he's 1 year removed from a really good rookie year. Yeah. Like, I'd bring in some competition, but I don't want to force it.
All right.
Here's a guy let's talk about. Arizona tight end Tanner McLaughlin. Okay. He ranks 190th on Arif Hassan's consensus board the last time I checked, which was Monday. And he is Daniel Jeremiah's tight end 2 in this class. He is 25 years old. A little bit of an interesting player. He's much more of a pass catcher. But he's great going up the seams. He can run like deep crossers, and he's good at the catch point. This tight end class is very weird. You have Brock Bowers, and I think Ben Sinnott from Kansas State is tight end too. I think Jatavion Sanders is massively overrated. I don't think he's very good at all. He blocks like if I put Odie out there to block, Odie would just try to lick you. He might be a better blocker than Jatavion Sanders effort wise.
Staring at you.
Yeah. So McLaughlin's a very interesting player because like if Daniel Jeremiah is saying that he is like tight end two, like that speaks volumes. I already liked his game, but when you hear somebody that smart having that kind of a take, it makes you not question yourself, but really want to go back and investigate. Okay.
I'm sold.
Why is somebody this smart saying this? I want to find out
why. We just took him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in, dude. Like, we're in on, and I feel like, you know, seventh round, you're really just rolling dice. So if I agree with you, if there are some smart people that think he's maybe the second or third best tight end in the class and he's still sitting there, then why the hell not?
Take a shot.
All right, cool.
Take a flyer.
And now it's time for Iowa punter.
Vikings, Mr. Irrelevant here. Who are we?
I can tell you one thing. It will not be Joe Milton. I will not waste a draft pick on that football player.
What about any other quarterbacks? Would you consider a second quarterback a backup? Well, you know, most likely.
Mm-hmm. Or Austin Reed still on the board? That would be the one that I would consider, but I think he might be gone.
But this would probably be at the expense.
Yeah, no, he's there.
It'd be at the expense of your guy, Jaren Hall, potentially.
You know what? It would be good to bring in competition for Hall. And I really like Austin Reed. He started at West Florida D2 in 2019, won the D2 national championship. Obviously, COVID cancels the 2020 season for D2. 2021 kind of has a little bit of a regression back, but then he goes to Western Kentucky, which is a juggernaut for the air raid. And unlike Bailey Zappe, Zappe was incredibly proficient and he put up some monster numbers. Reed's got a rocket. And talking to some people, like his training facility, he got there, he was throwing like 53 miles an hour. Now he's up to in the early 60s, 60, 61, 62. Some of those mechanical stuff with air raid quarterbacks needs to be tweaked because their footwork is very fluid, very loose. And I think that's one of the reasons why Drake May is the way he is, because when it comes to a classic traditional dropback offense in the NFL, it's very crisp, concise, consistent footwork. With the air raid, things will branch off at different benchmarks based on leverage. The run and shoot is a version of the air raid, and it does the same thing. So Warren Moon, for each receiver, would have like five different routes that they could run based on each play that they called. And that can make things a little interesting with the footwork, and you have to keep them a little loose because if you're throwing at 60 degrees, but then the receiver ends up going to 80 degrees, then you have to be able to make that transition, and keeping your feet loose is a big reason why. I'm big on his ability. I don't know if he'll ever be anything, but in the same way that I wanted to bet on Jaren Hall last year, I would bet on Austin Reed this year because I think there's untapped potential based on what I saw at the college level and how you can get him involved in a drop back system in the National Football League.
I don't hate it. Judd, are you on board with a second quarterback here?
Nope, okay. I like it.
Awesome. Before I click Austin Reed, can you give me a scouting report on Sam Hartman's hair and how it translates to the NFL for now?
Listen, I think he's the only player in this draft class that has better hair than me. Just it's gorgeous.
I want to see a Photoshop job of you guys switching hair. Can we get a photo? One of our great listeners hopefully can Photoshop Forno and Sam Hartman swapping hair. So, okay, PFF, you know, nothing matters except for the PFF letter grade to decide if you know what you're doing here. So, let's scroll down.
B+.
You think it's a B+? It's an A+ for the Drake May transaction.
Look at that. Oh
they're dinging you for Jacob Cowing.
They don't like your wide receiver.
C-minuses are fine. I did fine.
Look at Forno. Forno's done enough of these to know it is a B+.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a D- for Dylan Labe. On their board, it was a reach, but
there was like four or five or six running backs ahead of him. I get it. I think they're wrong, but I get it.
Yeah, well,
exactly.
I like it.
Wow, dude. I think Forno cooked here a little bit. So Drake May plus the pick, the round three kickback to me. There's so much focus on giving up three first round picks. But if you can start to get like a kickback here, a little third round pick here, maybe a little fourth round pick over there, and they become pick swaps instead of just giving away headcounts. And then you pick up the interior defensive lineman there from Oregon, Brandon Dorlus. So There it is, man. That's our 7-round Vikings mock draft simulation. Presented in part by our friends at Nicolay Law, too. I want to shout them out. Probably seen a billboard or two around the Twin Cities of our guy, Russell Nicolay. Nicolay Law knows that when you or a loved one gets injured, ordinary life can come to a stop. Things can get complicated. And that's where the exclusive personal injury law firm of Purple Daily comes in. Nicolay Law. They know every play the insurance companies have to run. They'll go the whole nine yards to make sure you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. Get Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. Get Nicolay. NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. NicolayLaw.com. Forno's going to be part of our extravaganza at the Fillmore. We've got a slot on stage carved out with an internet connection. You can be on your computer, and then we'll summon you for draft takes throughout the night. But any other final thoughts here after this little 7-round experiment?
I got two things to say. One, I think Russell Nicolay actually has a better head of hair than me. I think it's impressive. That beard is just gorgeous.
Dallas Michael-like.
Yeah, yeah.
The one thing, and I said it on Purple Daily on Draft, is don't get too attached to certain players. And especially after round one, like if you're super attached to JJ McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, okay, I get it. That's completely fine. But when it comes to like day three, if they don't take your guy, it's not the end of the world. And just take a look at who they are. Take a look at who the player the Vikings took. And you never know. They could be the next Stephon Diggs.
If you're attached to players.
Thor, we're talking to Thor, by the way, about your punter, Thor.
Oh,
don't get too attached to your punter.
Tell him I think he's wrong. It's
if you're too attached to players on day three, I suggest therapy. Like if you've
I don't
got
know,
a
I was, day three I was really list, attached to Jaren Hall last year. I mean,
I suggest, but you learned.
No, I don't know that anything's been proven with Jaren Hall yet. Learned. Like Jaren Hall might have a career as a backup for 10 years in the NFL. We don't know yet.
Nothing's been proven with Hall. There's still so much unknown. Yeah, that Green Bay game was really, really bad, though. It was awful. I got a lot of crap for that. That was fun.
Well, it's okay.
The intention was for him not to play, though, too. In his defense, he was never supposed to play. He was never supposed to take a snap.
You're also like, the thing is, I mean, you're out here slinging takes on the internet every single day. You're not going to bat 1,000. Just remember, the smartest people in NFL front offices are very, very wrong a lot on NFL players, right? I mean, like, we bring up the 49ers front office moved up to get Trey Lance and then bailed after like a year because it just like it wasn't working. It didn't pan out the way that they had thought. So, you know, you're not going to bat 1,000, whether you're a talking head or an NFL general manager this time of year,
which means the quarterback that we just took in the 7th round is probably going to end up being the Viking starter someday.
Hey, could you know be. What? If it works out and we're going to, I will be here with you guys on Thursday and then Vikings First and Skull, we're going to stream all night, Friday, all day Saturday, bringing That's you awesome. Everything you need to know about everything Minnesota Vikings. I can't wait. This is my favorite week of the year.
Go hit that subscribe button on his YouTube channel, Tyler's YouTube channel, Vikings First and Skull. And then if you haven't on the Purple Daily, also click the like button, the subscribe button, and we'll see you in a couple days, man. Forno, cooking here. Love it, dude. All right, that's a wrap for us. Also, be sure to check out Flagrant Howls live from Target Center after Game 2 on the Score North YouTube channel and on the Flagrant Howls podcast feeds on demand afterwards, Apple and Spotify, and all of our other Score North podcasts, including the Score North Twin Show, brand new YouTube channel that you can check out Tuesdays with Trevor Plouffe today. But thanks to Forno, Judd, Dex, we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.